Oh, Karen's sat here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Before we start, just going to go through the fire procedure. In the event of a fire, please evacuate the building. There are three push-bar fire exits in the main hall, one on the right, one on the left, and two at the back wall there. Also, the main entrance in the front there of the building. After leaving the building, proceed to the assembly point, which is located outside the front of the building, where a roll call will be called and the evacuation personnel will meet.
Okay.
Right. Apologies for absence, please.
Councillors Jane O'Brien and Kevin O'Brien and Councillor Kirsten Charters. That's a good word. Apologies for this evening.
Thank you. Declarations of interest and dispensations.
Not had any.
Approval of the minutes. To approve as a true record the meeting of the council held on the 14th of July 2025. Long time ago now.
Yeah.
Great. I'll put you to sign them, please. Thank you.
Right. With us tonight, we have Marie, who's come from Wyvern Transport. She's going to talk about the services that they can do for us and for the bar. Yes?
Davies from Wyvern Community Transport. I've been with Wyvern for about 4.5 years now. Wyvern is a lifeline to many of our vulnerable people in the community. We offer a service for Rochford District Council, for the people, the residents of Rochford District Council and Castle Point Borough. The point of Wyvern, and we're a dial-a-ride service, so you'd call up, you make a booking, and then when you pick your booking, you tell us what time you want to go out, what time you'd like to return, and then you would be able to go out with us on travel. We're heavily subsidised by Essex County Council. The rest of what we do is fundraising to support the charity. There is a small cost involved. We're a team of 7 paid staff, and then we have 11 volunteers that are our drivers and PAs or help us out in the office where they can.
That's
my train of thought.
That's all right. Staff, volunteers.
Yeah, we've got the staff. We offer our service from Monday to Friday. We do group bookings. So, for example, if you had a club here and they wanted to go out on a day trip, if they were a member of ourselves, then they would be able to use our service to be able to go out. All our vehicles do have power lifts on them, so if someone felt that it wasn't because of a wheelchair or anything like that, just that they had a bad vehicle or that they struggled getting up the steps or anything like that, then they would be able to use the power lifts on all our vehicles. We do cross over border, so we would take people to Southend and things like that, with everything that they could need or want. So whether it be a club or a doctor's appointment, whether it's to go visit a friend at their house or to go to the pub for a lunch or anything that you may think of. We also support schools in the area as well. So they may do math tournaments, so go to a different school, and there's only a small group of children, so they'll use our services as well. Volunteers is obviously the big thing for us, is having more volunteers gives us the benefit to be able to do what we do and get people out to where they need to go. So Wyvern was established in about 2003, and that was just in the Rochford side, and then went over to Castle Point, I believe, in 2006, and has still been going strong since. Before the pandemic, we did have more vehicles and more volunteers, and then the pandemic hit, and then unfortunately, as time's gone on, we're getting our numbers back up year on year. So when I started work there, I think it was about 7,000 we were taking out. Then it went to 11,000, and last year we hit 14,000. So this year we're hoping to keep getting the word out about Wyvern and being able to support the needs of those that need our service out in the community. Do have some pens and bits and pieces if you want to take anything with our name and number on. We have got a membership, so when you become a member of Wyvern, we ask you to fill in a membership form. It just gives us some criteria of the person, that their needs and what they may require for their travel. And then from there, once it's on the system, we've got a wheelchair or a scooter, then we would do a slight risk assessment on that just to make sure, and to see what vehicles that they may need to, you know, that they can travel on as well. But yeah, so when you phone up, you give the timing that you wanted. Say if you said 10 o'clock, I wanted to go to Tesco shopping, and then we would take you, but you'd tell us at that point when you're making the booking of what time you'd want to come back. So you've got 2 hours, for example, and then we would book you in for the return journey. And then the same for medical appointments. If you had a medical, anyone that was phoning up, we would say to them, just tell them it's community transport, so you know how long you're going to roughly be. They tend to give you a time if they know, and then we'll do the return on that as well. Wyvern is a massive lifeline to so many. It does prevent isolation. We go out to the rural areas where people wouldn't, you know, you don't have a bus route, or it could be that the bus, it's from here just to the bottom, but it's a struggle for you to get there, you know, then that's what Wyvern's about. We'll come collect you from your door. It's a door-to-door service. And then we would take you on your travels to where you want to go. It is a fantastic group team that I work alongside. And people get to know each other. Sorry. I feel like I've gone backwards and forwards all over the show. But it is more to prevent the isolation, giving people their independence and getting out and being able to still do things that they want to do without having to rely on a family member all the time or a friend, you know, so that they can have that independence and do what they want to do. Yeah. Okay. Anyone got any questions about Wyvern? Yes.
Do you want to have that?
It's just, with return journeys, what is your latest time? I'll tell you why, because some of the ladies who attend the centre here, they come up from the dome,
yep,
and the activities finish here about 3:45, and they can't always get Wyvern back.
Yeah, so because of how the service works, it is on a first-come, first-served basis, so when people book on, we will try and allocate the best we can to the time slot that we can do. The dome, yes, I know who you're talking about as well, the two lovely ladies. They use us for other things as well, which is great. So I think this week they're actually being picked up at 3:45.
Okay.
But that, because it works in, it really depends. If there's another pickup after, then it might be that we would say to them 3:30, I think sometimes we pick them up, don't we? But it really does depend on where the vehicles are, and because it is first come, first served, it's whoever gets on the phone first. So if there's someone already being picked up at 3:45, for example, then we would say, can it be 3:30? Because there is actually another lady in this area that comes back to Benfleet. She visits a friend actually in Holbridge. So it does depend on who gets in first, if you like. But they do have 7 days, so it's 7 days before. So today people were phoning up for next Monday. The middle of the week seems to be the busiest. Mondays are quite quiet. There doesn't seem to be many clubs and things go on a Monday, so Mondays always seem to be a bit of a quiet day for us. Wednesday seems to be crazy when everything's going on, and Thursdays, but we do try our best, but it isn't always perfect, if you like.
You mentioned that you were heavily subsidised by Essex County Council. The users of your service, do they have to contribute in the form of a fare? If so, how much?
Yes, they do. So our outgoings last year is roughly around £225,000 is the expenses for Wyvern. Our income from Essex County Council is about £114,000. Then after that, everything has to be raised. So there is a concessionary bus fares that we have. So it's £5 for the first 3 miles, and then it's £1 for every mile after that. So someone coming from Holbridge to Rayleigh, I think it's about £5, and then it would be returned. If they have a carer or an escort going with them, or we have husband and wife, we would tend to have one as the carer and one as it tends to be one's the carer and one's going out kind of thing. And then that's just a £2 flat fare for that carer or escort to go with them. Especially if it's an appointment, sometimes they want to go, or it could be just that they're going together and they need that extra support and things like that. So from here to Southend Hospital, I think it's about £12, but we know that from a taxi point of view, people are looking at a lot more. We know that we do help a lot, especially from Castle Point, we can be to the hospital. I think it can be about £35 just one way for a taxi, where it could be £24 for ourselves there and back, the proceeds, obviously, for the money that we get from the fair all goes to the charity. We're a non-profit organisation, so there isn't any extra there.
You just answered my question, actually. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
In terms of volunteers, is there any training checks on them, and also for some of the bigger vehicles, do they need particular licences?
Yes, so we try to keep our vehicles under a D1 licence so that we don't have to, because a lot of our volunteers are older, so they do have the D1 on their licence at the moment. We're very aware that, I don't have a D1 on my licence, and people that are coming in to look or want to volunteer for us now don't have that. So the vehicles do have, we've got four vehicles that don't have a D1, and then we've got two that do.
Training and checks.
Training, we do Mind-Dash training. So Mind-Dash training is done. Because it is within the Community Transport Association. It's very highly recognised within there. That's where they would get trained on driving the bus in, about the people that we may have on the vehicles as well. So, and how to use the clamping and stalling. People shopping and things like that to the side in the event of an accident and things like that. So they do get the training there. With regards to checks, we do reference checks on anyone that comes into Wyburn, as well as a DBS check as well, which is paid for and subsidised by the charity, as well as the expenses for the volunteers that we have.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Is there any other questions?
Do you identify certain communities, like you just mentioned, Dunham? They're very isolated for transport there, so obviously they're one of the areas where you visit quite frequently all the time. Are there any other areas that you could actually say that seem to be isolated that you?
Canoodon, Monasey Island, they're definitely a little bit more out in the sticks there as well, aren't they, for transport. And we do cover Great Wakering as well, so we have someone in Great Wakering that comes all the way over to Lee, to the Lee Primary Care Centre, so there's a lot of to and fro in there as well.
You say that you do cross, you go across borders. Now, Southend is a unitary council. Do they give you any funding?
No, because when I say, because like obviously the hospital, the seafront, and places that people still want to get to and have access to, and we are finding now that a lot more clubs and things like that are further afield, so whether it's a rehabilitation centre or physiotherapy and things like that, people are having to come, so from Rayleigh or Hockley over to Benfleet, we've got a headway there. There's only one, I believe, in the area, and that's there. And so there's no other access for people to get there unless they can drive or a family member takes them.
Have you actually approached Southend Borough Council?
No, because I know Southend, because they have their own community transport, so we do with Rochford District, so you have to be and pay your council tax for being Rochford District or Castle Point Borough for you to be able to become a member of ourselves. So if you lived in Lee, we wouldn't be able to do the transport for you, unless it was a group booking, and you're a part of a group, then that would be a little bit different, because the group booking, as long as they were in Rochford or Castle Point, then we would be able to go and collect and take people to where they, you know, to wherever it is they're going for the day, or to the club if you like. So we do, you heard of the Todman Centre in Rayleigh, the Rayleigh Age Concern? So we do a bus route for them on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, where we go round and we collect the residents from their properties and we take them there, and then we collect them at the end of their lunch club and then we take them home. So and there's another one we do with Gospel Call as well.
How many visits do you do? I have seen your community buses running around. But obviously, it must work out in the, over a month, there must be hundreds of visits or so that come to Holbridge and dotted around Rayleigh or so forth. Is that correct?
So averagely, I would say that it's around about 650 people
that
we get out
and
about a month.
So. That just goes to show you that you are making a difference to a lot of people.
We noticed before the pandemic, Rochford was really, really high. We used to do a lot of community transport within the Rochford District Council, or Rochford District area, sorry. Whereas now it's past the point that seems to have taken over, and it's getting and letting everyone know that we're still here and Wyvern is still part of the community. You've seen the vehicles, you know they're looking a bit tired now, and we haven't got as many. And that is what we're aiming now, is to start getting the fleet bigger and put, you know, we come up against our own pressures and things like
that. I mean, that one of those vehicles must cost you at least £80,000-£90,000 to put on the road, at least. With all the other equipment and all the rest of it that goes there.
Yeah, so for example, we did buy a bus a couple of years back. And that cost us £46,000.
Yeah, that was some years back, but I mean, the prices have gone up.
Actually, the diesel are dropping a little bit, but everyone wants the electric, don't they? But we because we're based at behind the council offices on Kiln Road, we're based at the back there where the buses are kept behind lock gates. We've looked and been thinking about going electric, but the trouble is with that, it's we don't have the points, you know, we only rent. The property as well, so what happens if we have to go somewhere else, and so it does open a new can of worms, if you like. But
if you want to sort of email in to me, then we can have a look at grants and things as a council as well, now following your talk here today.
Councillor Flagg?
I was listening to what you were saying about the charges, and obviously you can only do what you can do within the funding you've got, but there are areas of significant poverty in Rochford in particular, and some of those areas, like the Dome and other areas, where there are elderly people on low incomes. I just wondered if you considered having a sort of differential charge so that people on low incomes, you know, even what you're charging now, for some people is a large chunk of their income. Have you considered having a sort of differential charge between those who are relatively well off and those that are very poor?
Certainly, one. No.
No.
But yes, if you know, right. So no, I haven't. But I believe that it would be something to definitely look into. But as it stands at the moment, there isn't. You know, I'd have to look more into that and go back to the board really and find out how we would go about that and where that sits with everything, because I don't know.
Thank you.
Can I just, Councillor Flack said there, regarding the vehicle that you run in, the maths on it is every hour that the vehicle's running, it comes at a cost.
Yes.
You know, so, and you would know them costs, you know, in your department, certain departments. So that's obviously the vehicle maintenance, everything else that goes with it. So that's one of the reasons why you can't reduce some of the costs, because of the costs per hour running with it.
Yeah, we do get that BSOG. So we get BSOG is where we get subsidised towards our fuel allowances as well. So we do get other things, like, you know, but it is like you say, it is costly, you know, the fuel bill, the areas that we go to, you could find that we're in Rayleigh, but then all of a sudden we're in Great Wakering, and then from Great Wakering we're dropping off in Benfleet, and then we're from Benfleet over to Holbridge, you know, so we do try to incorporate a route so it works, so that everyone can get to where they need to be, but it can be quite hard sometimes, because you find that you might only have 5 passengers on board the vehicle, and the vehicle's done 100 miles that day, and it's like, where have you been? You know where they've been, you can see it, everything's logged, everything's registered, and we have the mileages and things like that. And then, like I say, the insurances, the public insurance, you know, it goes on and on and on, but yeah. And then the vehicle costs as well, which is a big thing, because the fleet is old. The vehicle costs can get costly with the kid going in for a breakdown or an inspection, and, well, the inspections is compulsory, that happens every 10 weeks, but you know, it's still an added cost
for
everything.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe you can leave a few pens or key rings that you've got there with the clerk, and anyone that wants them can pick them up from there, because we're not going to come to you.
I've some membership forms and applications. Yeah, brilliant. So if you know of any clubs or of anyone that may be in need of the service, then please let them know. We do try to put our literature up in different places, you know, as much as we can, the library, the doctors and things like that, anywhere that is communal, so that people do know of us. I know it's still called earlier over there as well,
Yeah, we'll put this out on our social media tomorrow as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we move on to item 5.1, this is committees. Councillors to note the minutes of the following committees. Planning and Infrastructure on the 16th of July.
Noted.
General Purposes and Security and Resources, 16th also. Planning and Infrastructure was cancelled on the 6th, but we moved that to the 3rd of September.
You've all had the minutes for that one then.
Yeah. And upcoming committee meetings. LGR Steering Committee, 18th of September.
Yep.
Planning and Infrastructure, 24th.
Yep.
Personnel, 24th of September also. Also on the 24th, Finance, Policy and Appointments. And Events and Leisure on the 1st of October. Now we go to the one I was looking forward to, finance. Councillors to receive and resolve to agree the payments made in July and August, and note the bank statements. Bank recs. For July and August, and agree the clerk has approved to pay any accounts due before the next meeting.
Agreed.
Councillors to note the period for the display of the notice of public rights for the accounting and governance return, AGAR, 24 to 25, lapsed on the 22nd of July and notices were displayed.
Noted.
Yep. Councillors to view and agree the external auditor report and note no actions are required. Councillors to note the conclusion of audit for 24-25. And with that, we need to congratulate the office and staff for no actions again, which is probably second or third year in a row, isn't it?
Yes.
Well done. Councillors to note, the local government pay deal has been agreed at 3.2 per pay point, and that the payroll has been updated accordingly. 6.5. Councillors are asked to note the decision made at the General Purposes Committee to proceed with the creation of 2 parking spaces at the allotment, should parking continue to be an issue. Approval is now sought for the equipment, and costs are as follows. 1 dumper at £70 per day, 1 digger at £100 a day. Duration 2 days, total cost £340, excluding insurance. Once approved, the work will be scheduled accordingly.
Agreed. Yep.
So is everybody happy with that cost? Yep. Should we need to move ahead? At the moment, the allotment site hasn't been too busy, so we're not going to move ahead until we see that there is a need for it to do. But if we've got approval for cost, we can then act on that as soon as we need to.
Yep. Yep.
6.6. Councillors to discuss and agree the quote of £1,350 for the replacement of 4 CCTV cameras at 98 Ferry Road to align with upgraded CCTV in Paul's Lane car park.
Is everybody happy with that? I mean, the office CCTV is quite old now. We've just had the car park done. We've budgeted for CCTV this year, so it's good if the two are then owned by the same company and they can be monitored by a security firm then. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we should move on to items.
So what CCTV are we getting? What type are
they? But it's the same type as down the car park. I haven't got all the specifications here, but it'll be the same cameras that we have down at the car park that were agreed to be rolled out at the car park.
So is this the latest?
Yeah. AML security are very, very good. Yeah. So, and we can monitor them ourselves, and then the security firm can monitor remotely.
Okay, we should move on to item 7, public participation. Contributions from residents, 15 minutes maximum on items on the agenda, and other contributions from residents. Ooh. Is there anyone wants to say anything? There are some.
Well, it's me again. I attended last time. My name's Debbie Nelson. I raised an issue to do with the traffic issues down the Lower Road. I've been in communication with the councillors, and I've had notification or acknowledgement letter from Councillor Tom Honeyman, which I must admit I found extremely disappointing. I don't know if you've seen the letter or the review, but I have emailed it to the Holbridge Parish Council. But the main issues that I raised were to do with the incidents that have happened on the road, as well as serious accidents on them, and the busyness of it, and so much video footage I've got of lorries going up the pavement right outside my house, with pedestrians walking along with the scouts. It's just crazy. So I sent the video footage to...
We did actually view that.
Yeah. So, and then this response that I got is like, well, I don't know whether they're really addressing it completely, but the first sentence was, I'm sorry to hear of the worry regarding speeding. Mm-hmm. While I must advise that the enforcement of speed limits falls under the responsibility of the police, I want to assure you that Essex County Council remains committed to improving road safety wherever possible. We continue to monitor police reported collision data across the country to help identify locations where safety improvements may be needed. For our road safety team to consider any changes to the highway or to investigate potential schemes, specific criteria must be met based on this data. So in urban areas, they state a cluster of 4 or more personal injury collisions within a 50 metre radius with a clear pattern over the past 3 years. And then in rural areas, which I assume is us, is it?
Yeah.
3 or more personal injury collisions within a 250 metre radius, again with an identifiable pattern over the same period. At present, this area does not meet these thresholds, and as such, it does not qualify for funding or intervention under our current programme. We do understand that this may be disappointing, especially given the potential risk, but we must prioritise locations where there is a proven history of incidents in order to make the most effective use of our limited resources. Please note that your concerns have been noted, and we are grateful to you for taking the time to raise them. Should the situation change or new data become available, we will of course review it accordingly. And then it goes on, there is a speed watch initiative.
Can I just interrupt there?
Yeah.
I watched that video that you sent, and when you just mentioned in that letter, you said an incident happens.
Yeah.
Every time one of those vehicles has to mount the pavement, that is an incident, because it could endanger somebody on the footpath. That is an incident. So he's completely lost it there in what he's actually written.
Okay.
Because that is an incident.
Yeah.
Make no bones about it. If it was in court, the barrister would call it out and the judge would say, serious. I'd go back to him and say, you've identified what's going on with traffic, mounting the pavement and all the rest of it. You only need a child going to school in the morning, dead.
Exactly.
It's as simple as that, you know, because they're speeding along that road. Those of us that was at that meeting the other night watched your videos, we all agree.
It's in plain sight.
That's just a small miniature. I could keep bombarding, and I will do. We appreciate it that you're videoing it because obviously it shows it clearly. There's a pattern going on there.
Yeah.
It's a pattern that's happening on a regular occurrence.
That's what I said, public participation, so we'll let them finish.
That's okay. So basically, it is just saying, they do say that, please note that there is a speed watch initiative delivered by CERT and Essex Police which may prove helpful. That's a community speed watch, safeessexroads.org. I don't know anything about that. They've also mentioned regarding Lower Road carriageway footpath maintenance, I can see that there were servicing works in 2022 to 2023. And unfortunately, there are not currently any major works proposed. In the event that the condition of Lower Road significantly deteriorates or there is a specific issue with your constituent is concerned about, they can report this to Essex Highways via their dedicated reporting tool. Essex Highways can then determine whether an ad hoc inspection is required. Please be assured that the condition of Lower Road will continue to be monitored during future inspections. At least he acknowledged, sort of.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping us updated.
Okay, so just, I don't know where I'm taking this, but I will be answering back with more video footage, and hopefully my name will get on somebody's nerves. Not in person, but hopefully.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anyone else? Right, we move on to item 8. District and County Councils.
I've had no reports or...
And they're absent again.
And they're absent, yeah.
Mm. Make sure that's minuted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chairman and Clerk's report. As Chairman, I'm just standing in today. I've got nothing to say at all.
I've just got a brief few things to run through to let you know that the speed sign along Lower Road we have adjusted it because it can only be set at 5 mile an hour increments. It was at 35 mile an hour, but we've now lowered it to 30 to see if that helps with the speed along there, which may go some way into addressing the problem. But
thank you.
There's an autumn fair here at the Windermere Centre on the 20th of September, and they're looking for volunteers if any councillors are available. There's an autumn fair at the HCA on the 4th of October that I think some councillors have agreed to attend, so it would be lovely to have you there. And we've had Barrett David Wilson Holmes give us a donation towards our Christmas event.
Is it a house?
It was a sum of money, but it will go some way to help us with the Santa's Christmas presents.
Lovely.
This year, so that's it. That's all from me.
Thank you. Moving on to item 10, village security and security patrols. Councillors to discuss and note monthly reports from S-type security.
Continue to circulate these to you as and when they come into the office.
Thank you. Nothing on that. Number 11, open spaces. Councillors to discuss and agree the concrete block at Paul's Lane car park, which is quite ugly, to be clad and planted to improve aesthetics.
And Brett's idea to turn it into something a little bit more than a lump.
In my view, I think we should always defer to Brett's expertise and understanding of these things.
It will look much nicer planted, and it will stop people sitting on it then if it's got plants in it and things.
Yeah,
so if everyone's happy, then I can get him to move ahead with that.
Sure.
Okay, 11.2 is quite an important one here. Councillors to discuss and agree a decision regarding the approach for a refreshment stall in Kendall Park.
This came through during the summer from a resident. I have advised him that it's a site of scientific special scientific interest and that there are other businesses nearby and it is unlikely to gain council approval, but he would like me to take it to council. So that's what I've done. Councillor Flack.
Yes, I'm fundamentally opposed to that concept. I mean, it's actually a nature reserve. And it's under a lot of pressure because it's very heavily used. And as you say, there are other places where people can go to have drinks and refreshments.
I think I was just coming to council for a definitive response that I could then feedback to the other decisions made.
I think in any reply we should fundamentally emphasise that point. It is a major reserve and it's not available for that sort of activity.
Thank you.
Thank you for their interest. But
I think anything like that would generate quite a lot of litter. Because it's out of the way, that could create quite a lot of work.
There are
also
reasons.
Issues with electricity and powering that and all sorts of things. But so if our council agreed that they are...
Okay, so we move on to 11.3. Councillors to receive an update on the winning entries for the allotment and the bees kept frontage competition.
Well, I hated saying that.
I did.
So both competitions have been run and finished and the winners have been given their vouchers and had their photo taken with the chair or vice chair. The allotments look lovely this year. I can't remember which pop won it. Can you remember, Julia?
The nicest one.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yes,
it was 32. I think it was 32.
And was it up in Tower Park?
Yes,
the garden for the best kept. And obviously that's a competition that we're reviewing going forward.
Was it the same like last year?
It was the same as last year, yes, because they have a marvellous garden. That's why I found that.
Move on. Item 12, policies and procedure leases, stroke leases. Councillors to review and agree the following. Vexatious requests and complaints policy.
This hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance policy. Have I signed that?
You have, if everyone's happy with the zero tolerance.
CCTV policy, updated.
It's been updated to include our new CCTV at Paul's Lane car park.
Data protection impact assessment.
Because we didn't have one and now we've installed new CCTV, we now have, and I've used the template on the Information Commissioner's office, so although it was arduous to fill out, it's thorough.
Right, we all okay with them?
Yeah, can I just raise a point? It's just occurred to me as I've heard it. The CCTV is likely to pick up. people who work for the council, have we a policy about using it to monitor our workers? Because as a union person, in another area, I believe management have misused CCTV when something has potentially happened, and
In the data protection impact assessment, it covers people's personal data and you can't use that, and I think it would probably come underneath that.
I'd be interested in reviewing that in light of people who work for Holbridge, if they're caught on CCTV, how are they protected?
I think that would probably come up under maybe our data protection policy rather than the data protection impact assessment. Let me take that away from the meeting. Yeah, absolutely.
To protect them.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Because we do have CCTV, not in the office, but outside the office as well. So it's very relevant.
So, yes, please. Yeah.
If we're happy to accept these as is, what I will do is take that away and look at how we can...
It's almost could have been put under A or B. It's just as you mentioned it. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on. General privacy notice, updated.
So that's just because our data protection has now come as a pack that I've kind of linked all together.
Yeah.
So these have all been updated to kind of to make them inclusive of each other.
Data protection policy updated.
Same kind of fish.
Yeah.
Data audit policy, this is a new one.
So that we are auditing our data protection as well. So we're not just protecting it, we're making sure that we're carrying out audits behind. There's a
You're
lot of work
protecting the
to
protection
this,
of the data protection.
But yeah, yeah, that's...
subject access request updated.
Okay.
Got a question for those, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
Regarding data protection, bearing in mind recent cyber attacks and other things, do we have what they call a pen test, a penetration test, to test the efficiency of any data protection systems from the cyber point of view?
I've not heard of that. No, that's something I can look into, though.
Thank you.
I'd worry about that.
I'll take those things away and I will come back to a future meeting with both of those. Thank you.
Okay, item 13. Devolution, local government reforms. Councillors to receive an update and information on the survey from Rochford District Council conducted during August. I believe Connor was at one of the meetings.
I can also give a brief overview, Chair. But firstly, it's going to be discussed at RDC on the 16th of September at 7:30. The agenda is on the RDC website, and the agenda does contain the report that gives the results to the survey. Briefly, most of the residents would rather this wasn't happening. Only 14% really is sort of much in favour of it, to be fair, and also that the residents like that's being put forward by RDC, the residents would rather work with Central Essex than be with Southend, and certainly they do not want to be lumped in with them because of the situation there. So that's where we are with that. Obviously what we're up against is that a lot of the councils are going for the model of the five unitaries, and on that particular model that puts us with Castle Point to Southend. The one that Essex County Council put forward is even worse. That's putting us with Southend, Castle Point, Basildon and Felwick.
But
Southend also carries and apparently some of the debts of these councils, yes, they're debt, but they're the debts are against assets. So the Farwick one is kind of unique in the fact that they've racked, because of I think bad advice around an investment. I don't know all the ins and outs of the story because it's not my local authority, and it says that we could be all night talking about the story around it. So the result is, it's nobody's that keen to work with them because at the moment we haven't had anything from government saying to make life easier for you, whether there's, I've got an idea, there's been talks between the government and the government about how this debt's going to be handled. At the moment, we don't know for sure, so everybody's a little bit nervous around that one. So that, and the one that, as I said, RDC, what they're proposing, so rather than jumping the gun, because the proposal might fall on next week, is they're proposing having us with Malden, Chelmsford and Brentwood, and the thing is we've already been working with Brentwood anyway, so I can see the opposing argument also that a lot of the transport links and what have you, and also the things that the lady was explaining to us tonight, there are a lot of existing links already with Castle Point and Southend, so from that point, yes, I can understand the argument. Difficulty is that they've also had the housing targets placed on them, and they've got even less spare land than us. So they look at us, we're the ones who are going to be more vulnerable for the land to meet the government's targets, and we don't know whether the events in politics over the last week will affect that anymore, but we have to assume that the government's targets are still going to remain what they are, even with a different minister. At the moment, we're not going to assume a different minister is going to mean different targets.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's a kind of a potted version of where we are with it.
Councillor Erwin?
Surveys and public consultations, what influence do I have on final decisions? Because my view on public consultations is it's a rubber stamp job just to say they've undertaken a public consultation but not taken any notice of the influence.
I don't know how much influence it's going to have on the government. I mean, we've asked on RDC, we've put the thing out there just to see what the public thought. The majority of the public could have told us that they wanted to go in with Southend, then we would have had a rethink. That's all I can only talk at the level that, yep, that I'm dealing with. The government have probably got some kind of rough idea of what direction they want to go in. It doesn't mean to say that when they look at the evidence that they may sort of tweak that a little bit, but I should imagine that the government wouldn't have gone into this if they didn't have any idea.
Councillor Flack?
Yes, I mean, I read the consultation document put out by Southend Council, and the devil is in the detail that's left out, because the comedian who is leading the council at the moment is a very poor comedian, by the way, but he was a comedian. He keeps on talking about infrastructure, but what he's really talking about is the money wheeling and dealing about this new town and the four major landowners in this district who would be quite happy to facilitate that and build the South End Outer Bypass, which I opposed in the late 80s and 90s. If that was to be built, have no doubt it would destroy Rochford as the community is now, as a diverse community of small villages and small towns around a green belt. We'll end up with a greater urban South End. The landowners profiting from not only the road, but the development that will follow along its path, because if it were to happen, we'd be told that they put in conditions to not allow development along the bypass route. But I was told that when I was on the county council, when the county council fortunately opposed the South End Outer Bypass route. And we were told, I think it was actually by Richard Boyd, who was the leader of the Liberals at the time, that they'd never build along the Braintree bypass, because that wouldn't be allowed. And if you actually go to Braintree now and look at the Braintree bypass, you'll notice that it's completely developed along its entire length.
Thank you.
So there are a few vested interests that have existed and pushed for this over the years, especially in Southend. I had a lot of strangely, as a socialist, had a lot of admiration for Teddy Taylor, but he was pushing this outer bypass route. So I think we need to be very, very careful, because what's happening is conditions are being created in the road networks, and we all know what it's like around here at times. So that they'll come along and say, we need to build this road, but if they ever build it, what will happen is we'll lose the Crouch Valley, we'll lose the identity of various parts of the
district.
Yeah,
obviously we'll bring that to this agenda point when that comes up.
Thank you for your input.
Yes, sorry. So the chairman and I and the clerk attended the formal meeting with the chair of Rochford District Council about this, where she explained the proposal to go with Morden and the other councils. Which was a more helpful meeting, I will to her credit say, than the previous meeting that the chair and I had attended beforehand. under the previous administration, so all props to her and her team as well for leading a helpful and informative session, and very interesting questions were asked by all. And then the clerk and I attended a slightly less formal meeting with other clerks and representatives about asset management and registry and things like that, just to make sure that we continue to work together on the things that we have the authority over and have the impact on. So making sure that if there are things that we're able to take control of, things that we're able to work together on, that we can do that here in the wake of devolution and LGR. There are plans for future meetings.
It's to keep us working collaboratively with other parish councils.
Check in, but that won't be until after October, I think, when we actually have some more concrete information to give, because that's when Rochester District Council will update their asset register, and they'll be able to give us more information on what they own, what we might want to pinch from them, and what we definitely don't want, because it's far too expensive, and we'll bring Jake won't want to go near it. So,
once we have information, we'll bring that to the table.
Yeah.
We're still quite in the dark about it all, aren't we? We don't exactly know what's going to happen. Right, up to item number 14. Representatives of outside bodies. 14.1. Council to receive any reports from the following to whom the parish council has made representations. Councillors to note a maximum time of 2 minutes is allowed for each external body. Holbridge Community Association.
I've heard nothing from them,
Sue.
I have. The children's entertainer that happened during the summer holidays, it was a bit worrying that they'd only sold 6 tickets, but on the day it was 60 and very popular, so that was good. And they continued to serve food, and obviously the parents then spilled out into the patio area, let's say. They're hoping to hold a race night on the 11th of October, quiz night on the 14th of November, to which we're all cordially invited. I should mention that I heard today that they are looking for some funding because they plan to apply to have the man shed. On the property.
Well, I mean, it would be the men's shed that would be looking for the funding, not the HCA.
Yes, that's right. So they're looking for some funding so that they can go ahead with an application, apparently.
That's our mentors, guys. So they'll come and speak with me about that,
Fine. And they told me where it's going to be, which is on the Patank Court, and then it'll be fenced off and everything else.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, the preschool, their garden is being updated. There'll be a gated entrance now, and I'm happy to say I'm joining the preschool in October on Wednesday mornings.
Hey. You're not a bit old for that.
Well done. So, can I ask a quick question? So, are they doing away with the Patank Court? Was that not so popular anymore? Or?
When I was at one of the meetings, they said that the upkeep of the Patank Court was a bit of an issue.
Right, okay. It's because I think it was brought in because somebody fancied it a few years back. And it doesn't surprise me if somebody, that the novelty's worn off, and that's I've just wanted to clarify that and be honest. So the men's shed is going to go there because it's already been smoothed out.
I think there's still an agreement that needs to be put in place, so there are still some steps to go through before it's sort of finalised, but it's definitely a strong possibility now. So.
Excellent news, thank you.
Yeah.
Which part of the green centre is?
There'll be containers that will be outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
The opposite side to the preschool, right across the other side.
What sort of container?
This is just for a report for the HCA. I think these are going to be containers that are similar to the one that we've got at the allotment site.
Is it a metal container?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
All I can say to you is you're far better to buy a refrigerated container.
It's not us that's buying them, it's the men's sheds people that are buying.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you should pass that information.
We'll do, absolutely. There is a successful one at Potash Nurseries, which is very similar to the one that we have.
They are built much better, and they have a longer lasting
lifetime,
and they're sealed.
Okay,
Windermere Centre.
Well, they had a lovely summer. Unfortunately, their barbecue was cancelled because of illness.
They've got the art show here on the 14th, this Saturday, and then, as Nicola said, they've got the craft fair here on the 20th of September. The poppy donations are still going very well. They've got about 2 million now. They're in talks with the library, and I think...
Yeah, Brett and Jacob measured how the wave is going to look and everything, yeah. So it's all
good. And
yeah.
I've got a committee meeting with them on the 22nd of October.
Okay,
thank you. Rochford 100 Association of Local Councils.
Yeah, so there is something I think that's worth mentioning, and I think Connor and Nikki are a little bit involved in this as well. There's residents, although I think this parish has no appetite, there are residents and various councillors who are trying to persuade people to get involved in neighbourhood plans. And we, Rochford 100 and everyone, wants to make sure that the correct information is going out on these for anybody making a decision to go ahead with that or investigate it, because the information that's being put out is making it seem like it can be used as a tool to get rid of unwanted development when it can't, and also that they're taking the costs away and the length of time. They're trying to make it look like parish councils can just sit around the table and after a few months can come out with this. It's a lot more complicated than that. So I'm not saying people shouldn't go ahead with it, it's just that we're trying to get some experts in so that members of the public and parish councils that are interested in this topic can come along and get the expert take on it, as it were, and maybe hear about experiences elsewhere for how it's gone, because it's a hot topic in some areas, and they've probably got their reasons, but there's various councillors and residents who are trying to persuade parish councils to take this step, and the information that's being put out on social media, I'm not saying it's completely inaccurate, but it's sort of painting a slanted picture, should we say. And so therefore, what we're trying to do is to ensure that anyone that does want to go ahead with it has all the correct facts. As I know, Nikki, you've been a little bit involved with this as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
So is that how you would see it, what I've just said?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's probably important that people have all the information that there is available, and then that's pros and cons. So if the RHLC can help sort of inform people, that would be really useful. So, yeah, thank you.
So that's what we're looking to do, is to have some sort of a public meeting. If we can get some experts the gentleman is a gentleman over on Hawkwood Parish Council that's kind of picked up the ball and run with this, because apparently he's got some sort of professional experience with this kind of thing, which is fantastic. And then
it might be interesting, Angelina, sorry just to cut across you, that if we heard from people where it's been maybe successful and not successful and the reasons why not, to maybe approach some other parish councils that may have carried that out. So that might be something.
Yeah, so we can look well for that. Yeah. Here, I'll see. Okay, so...
Thank you.
Although it doesn't necessarily wholly affects this parish at this moment in time, but I'm sure that a lot of you look at stuff on social media from other bits of the district and can see all these conversations going on, and just letting you know that Rochford 100 are trying to play their part to make sure that people get the correct information on that topic.
Thank you.
Holbridge Library, please.
Summer reading challenge is finishing, I think, this week, and everybody's getting ready for the new school year. We have mentioned before that we are trying to resurrect the Friend of Holbridge Library committee. We are having a meeting with the library manager on the 8th of October to put all our questions in front of her and make sure that whatever we have planned, we can go forward accordingly and have the right base for the committee to happen again. We'll keep
okay.
you updated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Crouch Valley Coastal Community.
In the meeting.
Thank you. Riverside Primary School.
So, yes, the school are now back. I did miss at the last meeting, apparently, the Reverend Susan, I think her name is, who used to do all of the RE assemblies and lessons, has retired after 30 years of service. And she had lovely flowers and cards for all the children at the end of term in July. Which is very sweet, and I remember her teaching me RE, I think I know people who are slightly older than me also remember teaching her RE, so that's nice. And that they are bringing back the Young Voices Choir, where the kids get to go do a big performance as well. That would be something to watch soon. And I think they're still going ahead with their Christmas pantomime at the end of the year, which would be very interesting.
I'm also trying to arrange a meeting currently for
with the chair
and the headmistress. Yes.
Okay. Police, security, and neighbourhood watch.
Police, we don't often see them, as people are aware. However, when we had another meeting during the week, it clashed with the police presence outside the co-op, and we weren't informed of it. It was apparently on one of the police websites, but the parish weren't informed of it. So the chairman did actually mention this to the clerk for future reference.
Mm.
It would be nice to know. We could then advertise that to residents.
Yeah. Okay, that's so unfortunate. That's it, really, for you? Yep. Okay, Riverside Medical Centre.
I spoke to Martin a couple of weeks ago. He's hoping to have the next PPG either late October or in November. I'll let you know, David, when I get the date. And as far as I'm aware, the planning application for building down on new development has been put in. That's as far as I know at the moment. I don't know if he hasn't been in to see you again, Angelina, has he?
Who's this?
Martin.
No.
Is it coming for his milk? No.
Okay. No, I've not seen him. If I see him, I will give him a gentle nudge.
Yeah, he does.
We've not heard anything, yeah. Because last time I saw him, he said, oh, it's going in imminent. No, I think that was about a month ago.
I saw him, spoke to him 2 weeks ago, and he said it's in, and the next meeting will be late October.
Oh, it's actually in. Oh, that's useful.
Can you not actually...
We'll be notified once the RDC is starting to look at
them. No, but what I mean, you could you not go on the telephone and speak to us, or say, I'm going to receive
I can
this?
Do, but obviously Sue's been speaking with him.
Obviously, it's not the utmost urgency in a sense.
It's not really down to us now. The planning application needs to go in. It's kind of out of our hands now.
Because
We'll get notification
as soon as it's available.
If I may add something to that, we are serving rural community as well. I mean, because there's only one doctor in Roar and Flay, and everything comes over to us. So really, we do need that building.
We've facilitated that as much as possible by putting them both in contact, and that's now happening. So as soon as we've got the planning application, we'll let everybody know.
What I'm saying is, could you not give them a ring and give them a ring and find out whether we're going to have it next? Because obviously, we need to push this through, don't we?
We don't need to push it through. No,
we can't do anything. You've got to wait. They've already.
It's happening. So
if the application has gone in.
I realise it's already happening, but the more people that push, the better it is.
No.
And hopefully they'll get off their backsides and do it.
No.
People can. So once the application's gone in, people can either object or put a support application, suggestion in. So
that'll be the time that we put in our support.
That's when people can put in, yes, so I think it's a fantastic idea, or no, it's not a great idea. We can't push it anymore. Once the application has been received by planning and they've looked into it, they will give us all the detail, all the reference numbers for us to then, as a council, to discuss at a planning meeting.
We can't do any more other than that. Everybody at the meeting that was held in this hall was all for it, in a sense. There will be some objections. However, as I've just mentioned, we are now servicing literally all of Rawlinworth.
We're not servicing all of Rawlinworth.
There's only one doctor.
Yeah, but we're not servicing all of Rawlinworth.
The only other doctors that people are going to are the Audrey Mills up in Rayleigh, right? So you think about it, we've just had 500 houses developed, right? Over at the Wesley, over the new development over at Rawlinworth there, there's how many thousand houses? I mean, all those people want to be registered with a doctor.
Okay. As soon as the planning we'll bring it to council.
We've had our 2 minutes on that one, I think. Transport. Anything? Anyone got anything on transport?
It's Jane.
Yeah, Jane's
not
here, so.
Yeah. And parish councillors, have you been about and doing exceptional? No, it's been
nothing. I'd like to report here. No.
Yeah. It's August. You've had a holiday.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are the bathroom down at the playground, are they going to be open again?
They are open.
They're open now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last time
they did. Yeah, no, they are open. They will close again at the end of October for the winter, but no, they are open. Okay. There's some problems with vandalism and all sorts of things over the summer. But they are open now.
Thank you very much.
That's all right.
Right. Item 15. Any items to be added onto the next agenda? And date of the next parish council meeting. Councillors to forward any items for the next agenda at least 10 working days before the next full council. The next parish council meeting will be Monday the 13th of October at 7:30 here. And that
is the end of the public meeting.
It's the end of the public meeting. We'd like councillors to stay just for one item.
So our council resolved to now move this into a private session.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, actually, okay.
Safe journey home, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just a quick question, do we record this?
No.
We don't.